Hey, AfterBuzzers, we're here talking about Supergirl. It's season 3, episode 16 of Two Minds. We'll be talking all about the world killer's petulance and a relationship update with Mon-El. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Little Phil Collins to start off the show. Love it.
I know, this was my choice because this is literally the only song I could think of.
Against all odds.
I mean, it really is against all odds. And of course, we are back talking about more Supergirl for you guys. It's season 3, episode 16 of Two Minds. I'm Stephanie Wenger.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys.
And we're so excited to be back talking about this episode, jam-packed episode. I feel like we're really gearing into the end of the season with this one. Feels like we've been teasing it all season with the world killers, and we certainly got a lot of that, and Pestilence. And I always love when Supergirl becomes a mystery. And tonight, it definitely was like they were solving a mystery.
Yeah, what I really liked about this whole episode is every single character had a defined point of view that you totally understood, and you were with them even when it was conflicting, because you were just like, oh, they actually have clear points on, I mean, everybody, especially Imra, and I really liked that we got to see her perspective more.
Right, because yeah. I feel like all season, I've certainly been saying, and we'll get into Mon-El and all of this, but like, you know, Mon-El and Supergirl seem like they're going to be reunited, but it was nice to get a little bit more of her going on as well and see her perspective on why she is that she brought Mon-El back and all of that.
Yeah, because that's the thing is, it, you know, from her, you know, coming in as Mon-El's wife, I know there is the initial reaction because people like Caramel, as I am a shipper myself for them and everything, but I've never felt like I disliked her at all. And none of this is her fault. Just like, honestly, every single person in this little triangle you like, and for their own, because they are their own person. And this is why I was glad we got this episode, because we did get to see more of Imra and her point of view.
And we'll get back into that relationship update in a little bit. Yeah. That was a little tease for you all. Yeah. Let's talk about the main point of this episode, which was Pestilence. And I like when there's kind of a whodunit, which that's what it felt like, because at first they were pointing the finger towards the nurse, and that her name was Adeline Swanson, I believe so.
Yeah.
And what did you think? I was pretty clear, knowing the way that Supergirl works, that was not going to be Pestilence.
Yeah, I was just, and I kind of like that it was almost set up like a serial crime drama, because I admit I watch a lot of things like that. I'm a big, you know, SVU fan.
CSI, yeah. all of those. Yeah. I have to say that I watch them sometimes, but I always enjoy when a show like this kind of turns itself on its head and does something a little different.
Yeah, and that was the thing, is it's fun because it's not like that every week. And two, like you say, we've got this mystery going on. But yeah, I had almost pegged the doctor, like, as soon as we met the character.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. So from the get-go,
yeah.
I'm interested to see if the chat felt the same way. I did not always get that from, and we are live on the chat, by the way, tonight and always, so definitely chime in if you're watching us live on Monday night. But I didn't get that from that character immediately. I was like, oh, doctor, cool. And then I was like, oh, interesting that they're going to pin it on a nurse. I actually thought there was going to be a third option in this.
As it is with the crime dramas, because rule of three is how they write all of those.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And like, that was the thing, is like, I gave Supergirl credit for, like, you know, breaking up the monotony of that sometimes. And I was like, that was pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. And I do like that they used, and it was like an Instagram or Facebook photo, social media, to figure out that she was in the right place at the right time. And I do, they were like, it's a passing fad, social media. We all know that's not the case.
That was why I was glad, like, we had a lot of funny lines in this episode, even with such, you know, dark subject matter and everything. So that's why it's sort of back on track with that, which was good. Because, yeah, the little social media throwaway line was hilarious with Mon-El, and it is funny to think about. Do you think it's going to stick around?
I don't know that it'll. I mean, this is a whole conversation that I could have hours and hours of talk about, but I do think that social media will be around in some form for the foreseeable future. I think that it will evolve out, and we see that every few years there's a new platform, and I think that that will continue to evolve what that looks like, and especially as technology changes with our phones and all of that, it'll evolve out, but I think there will be some form of this computers connecting one another.
Yeah, because this is not some, I mean, we keep building and building and building towards this. I did think it was funny that they said that, but I really don't see it happening. But it was funny how Mon-El put it too. It's like, millennials, a group at this time, would post all their thoughts and be, you know.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and everyone, I don't know if you do, but I certainly have friends, and like you see it even on these shows. It's changed Riverdale and all yes. of these social media is changing the way that stories are told on television, and it changes the way that like friends interact. Like, I have to say, we Facebook message all the time to talk about Supergirl. So it really does change the everything.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, you know, unfortunately you guys don't get to always be involved in Lex's thoughts on Supergirl, but because I'm friends with him, I like texts me all the time.
Yeah, like, you're like, yeah, exactly.
And that's so fun. Yeah,
yeah. Also, a favorite old panelist here. I can't believe.
Yes, I know. I was like, I always talk about this with Lex, and not always in person.
Yeah, it's funny because like I have also heard from fans of AfterBuzz that they create their own like social media groups talking about our show and the shows themselves and all that. So it there's a lot that can be done with it. But let's jump back to Supergirl in this episode, because there is so much to jump into with it.
Yeah, because we did get some answers here in the chat about, you know, since we were asking them earlier what they thought. Did you think it was going to be the Doctor or Adeline? And Seb Russ said, I kind of suspected the Doctor at the start, too. As soon as Wynn went down, I was sure. And that was sort of the thing, is I was like, she's a little suspicious. And then when Wynn went down, I was like, yeah, definitely the Doctor then.
All right, so that's what I want to get into. So first we had Wynn go down with illness, and that was in the preview from last week. And I realized quickly in the preview from last week that there was going to be another person. I didn't necessarily think it was going to be Alex who got sick, but when she did, I actually was thinking it would be more James or someone like that. But Alex was the person who got sick, and then you start to put together who have they seen. And I agree, then it started to be a case of going back and being like, maybe it is someone in the hospital, who would that be?
Well, and I thought, being that this was Pestilence, it would be, you know, ironic that it would be a doctor.
Right, because she does give this speech about being good, and like how good gets you nowhere. And that's a terrible, just like, philosophy to have in life. I feel like that's just so depressing.
Yeah, but honestly, it was horrible, but it almost made it more interesting, because as we've seen with Julia and with Sam, they don't want this. But I like that she just fully embraced it, and it was so dark, and it was honest. I have to say, it was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I do love a character. We often talk about on the show these gray characters. There's good and there's bad to characters a lot of the time on these shows. And she was just pure evil. Like, there was no good. She was posing as a doctor and doing terrible things to people and making city councilmen sick, Alex sick, Wynn sick, all these people who are trying to do good in their city.
Yeah, but, you know, the insurance company.
fair. I do find it interesting, though, that there are so many social messages in the show, and to have a doctor turn to be Pestilence, I was like, there's something in that, and I'm going to let the audience figure that one out for themselves, of what they're trying to get at there, but there was definitely something in that.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem parallel to the opioid epidemic, because that's something, you know, that's personally affected, you know, my life and things around me, you know, where this is doctors sort of contributing to this epidemic, so yeah, maybe they were thinking of that.
I don't know. I just was like, oh, it's interesting, and you mentioned insurance, and there's so much in the medical field, and we're not obviously going in politics or anything on the show, but just an interesting notion to think about. Before we jump into Sam and Rain, do you want to tell us a really exciting thing that our founder created?
Yeah, you know, if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, for those who do, we have a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us, the Supergirl After Show, that sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that her books, the Every Girl series, is just some of my favorites. It's so practical and helpful tips on organizing your life, cooking, dieting, all the things that I feel like I'm always dealing with. So definitely check out the books and, of course, this amazing podcast. I'm so excited to check it out as well. So let's jump back into Sam, who I felt so bad for in this episode. She's really dealing with this. I'm going to refer to it as a split personality with Rain, really dealing with this transformation into this, what she realizes is an evil character.
Yeah.
An evil person.
And that's what's been so interesting, is to see, you know, Lena work with Sam and everything on this.
Yeah. You know. I think Lena is really being... She's showing her compassionate side in so many ways, because she really wants to help Sam, it seems like, genuinely, and be there for her daughter and really, like, kind of hold Sam's hand through all of this. And I don't feel like we've really seen that side of Lena before.
No, and this is great, because it shows that Lena and Kara are a lot of like, and that's why they are friends, is because this is Kara's perspective on these people as well. And two, as I say, I did like the differing viewpoints, and I really don't know who I'd side with. I mean, in the case of Lena, Sam is her friend, and she's seeing this, and she believes that she can save her. But Kara, some of these other, you know, especially with the doctor we have, it's just like, can this person really be saved? And maybe Imra's right in that situation. But yeah, definitely here with Sam, we're seeing, you know, Lena do exactly what Kara would do, and really, you know, trying to be a, and, you know, it was so sad, you know, how it all ended up, because Lena really was making progress.
Yeah. I mean, and we're going to get into those final scenes with all the world killers in a second here. But before we do, I want to go into this notion of, like, Sam as a mother, and she really does worry about her daughter through all of this. She seems to be trapped in a lab, for lack of a better description, and she worries about what's happening to her daughter. And we haven't seen her daughter in a while, I feel like.
Yeah, I find it odd, but to be honest, there's been no instance to where we should see Ruby, so that, you know, is less jarring, because it's like, yeah, I mean, it's a contained story, and she's with her nanny, and we haven't had a need to see that nanny
yet. I don't know why. I feel like I miss Ruby. Maybe I'm the only one.
Yeah, I like Ruby.
Yeah.
Like, she's a good kid. She's not annoying. And that's what I like, is, like, you know, especially at that age.
Good.
Well, usually, like, small children are great, but, like, that's one thing I'll say, even, like, Oliver's son on Arrow. I'm like, these are actually really likable teenagers, which is hard.
I mean, mm-hmm. I have to say that the CW does a great job with casting as well. But, I really like Ruby, and I think she added an interesting element and humanizes Sam, because you see her kind of transform into Rain, and it's really nice to kind of get the opposite end of that, which is like that mothering figure.
Well, and as we see, you know, Sam is a good mom. All she's thinking about is Ruby, and, you know, really trying to protect her daughter even from herself, which unfortunately not all parents do. And it really does make you feel for Sam, especially because none of this is Sam's fault. You know, she is a victim as well, but she's still trying to fight. And that was, you know, what was so heartbreaking about the ending.
Yeah, I agree with you. I felt like she would do anything to not become Rain. And especially when she was, like, electrocuted to test her, like, capabilities as Rain, you just realize how badly she doesn't want this for herself, for her family. She doesn't want even Lena to really see it, I feel like. She really wants to hide from everyone. And then we fast forward, and Supergirl comes in to the lab and realizes, of course, that Sam is there. And she kind of looks to Lena and is like, what is going on here? And that's when it all breaks loose. And you see, of course, the other world killers come in, Pestilence and
Purity.
Purity.
I was like, all the, they're both P's.
All the P's. Purity, guys. It's Monday night.
Well, and I will say, sidebar, love their outfits, by the way.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, that's a whole other thing. They are crazy evil characters, but amazing, powerful, like, women and amazing fashion and all the things that you've come to expect from this show as well, but just in the most evil version. Yeah, so what did you think when they came in to kind of, I don't know, ignite Rain?
Yeah, I like the way you put that, ignite Rain. Yeah. I was like, yeah, that sounds so much more powerful. But yeah, like, as much as, like, you want the heroes to win, it was really cool the way that they did it.
And, yeah, I mean, those fight scenes, you can't deny that they're doing an amazing job creating these fight scenes. I'm not going to spoil anything. Do not worry. Saw Avengers over the weekend with apparently everyone else.
Yes, I did too.
And but like, you start to look at these fight scenes and you're like, this is incredible work for the time frame they're working in on this television show. Because like, Avengers films for months, it's a very different thing. But when you start to compare the two, they do an amazing job for the week or two they're filming.
Well, and I'd just like to specifically shout out the writing teams of the CW shows, because I feel like they often don't get enough credit. They usually, especially being DC versus Marvel sometimes, which I like both, you know, you can go both ways, especially it's now that's 2018,
guys.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, I love all of it. Yeah.
But yeah, like, I will just say, like, this big crossover event that we had with Avengers and this Crisis on Earth X we had with DC, I mean, they are on par, especially when it came to emotional payoff. I mean, what happened in Crisis on Earth X on our TV screens was just as powerful as what happened in our movie theaters this week.
I agree with you. I think that they're telling incredible stories on TV, and it's something that you can look across the board at all these networks, but I think sometimes the CW doesn't get the appreciation that it deserves. And they do it on these superhero shows, they do it on Jane the Virgin, and it's incredible. And these writers, like, really create something for a young audience that really can be broadly appreciated.
Yeah, and that's just what I like, because, yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, nearing 30, and I'm still watching this show, which, you know, used to it was considered to be teen, but it's been such a wide audience, that's why even it ranks higher than NBC in the ratings as well. You know, so yeah, that was just a nice little segue about us loving the network. But we do have some chatters in regards to the fashion. Yes. Sebra says, Pestilence by far had the best outfit. And G1X Writer 13 says, they have like instant clothes ability when Kara has to rip her shirt off. But I did like how last week, I think I forgot to even mention it, was when she started just slowly unbuttoning and she's like, what? I like this shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I love that because, like, any girl knows you do not want to rip your favorite shirt. I just feel like that is absolutely, I've been there where I'm like, no, this is what I care about. Like, I'm not taking it to get it destroyed somewhere.
And I like Dream to Inspire said, hashtag evil Powerpuff Girls. It's like, oh, I like that. That's funny.
Evil Powerpuff Girls. Hashtag, guys. That's amazing. I feel like this was a really jam-packed episode with the World Killers. I thought it was so powerful to have them kind of together. And we're only at the very beginning of this story, really. I feel like now is when it's going to take off in such a crazy way.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I was actually surprised that we ramped up to them getting Rain at the end of this episode. I thought that that was going to be more to, like, the last couple, but, and that's what, you know, it's like, ooh, what all is to come if that's where we're at in this?
Yeah, absolutely. What did you think of kind of where we left it? I felt like I wanted about 5 or 10 more minutes of this. Like, I was like, oh, that's the end. Okay, cool. And I felt like next week we're taking another turn, but we'll get into that in predictions. But before we do, please go on iTunes, rate, comment, let us know what you're thinking. Are you loving season 3? Where do you want to see it go for the rest of the season? We'll include some of your predictions if you shout out something awesome in our, and we always respond back too. We're reading everything. And Lucretia's on the live chat tonight, as always. So, again, rate, comment, iTunes, SoundCloud. We read it all. So, let's get into Monel. And I feel like we teased this a bit at the top, but Monel and his wife are really kind of coming to terms with their new life.
Well, yeah, and that's just what I'll like is, again, when it comes to them as husband and wife and dealing with Kara, is that everybody's very mature in this situation, and that's what I like is, like, we've had good conversations with them about their marital problems that, again, I'm just impressed with how they've handled it. And, you know, I really like Brainiac 5, like, him changing his appearance and everything in this episode was funny, and I like how Wynn just was like, oh. But yeah, it's just like it's little things like that, and in dealing with their relationship and learning about who they were before here is interesting.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Monel has this whole history with Supergirl, and I can only imagine that his wife, like, never expected that to be the case, because it doesn't sound like he made that very clear on where they came from. So I would imagine it's a real adjustment for her. And as you mentioned at the top, they're all so likable. That yeah. It's not like I always will go back to being a fan of Kara and Monel, but it's not like I dislike his wife at all.
No.
Yeah. I mean, she's amazing and kind of brings a whole other element to the show.
Yeah. As I said before, I really liked that most of this episode was her perspective and her talking about her sister. And then, you know, getting away from her and Monel a little bit, her and Kara was like, wow, like, that scene in her talking about Alex and her own sister, it's like, you almost see what Monel saw in Imra, is that she is a lot like Kara, and there is this relatability, and it's nice to see two women not fight over a man.
Absolutely.
And actually get to know each other, apologize, be, you know, respectful of one another. That was probably one of my favorite scenes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought, again, they're showing these female friendships, and they do it so well on this show. Lena and Supergirl have had a female friendship. There was the mentorship with Callista Flockhart, Cat Grant.
Oh, I love her.
I mean, she is someone that I deeply, I mean, yeah. I still love the show, but I miss her on the show. She brought a whole other element.
Yeah, that's the thing is, Cat Grant, we need you. Yeah. She's the one who could save us from the world killers just with one little snarky remark.
I know, just like, just that look of like, I mean, that's a throwback to season one, but amazing. Yeah. And Callista Flockhart, again, could do no wrong, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I feel like there's just been, and of course, Alex and Kara have this amazing sister relationship that we don't see often on TV.
Yeah, and that's what I like, is, like, there's very positive relationships on this show, and everyone seems to respect one another. And yeah, as we say, we don't see that a lot.
Yeah, I think, because, like, on Gossip Girl, to throw it back a bit, certainly they were, like, frenemies on that show. It was never, they were never, like, showing great female friendship. It was one conniving the other, and you know, and that's fun and, like, you know, soap opery and amazing and in a totally different way. But to have this week after week and show these different types of female relationships is so amazing.
Yeah, because you have, you know, Lena and Sam, Lena and Kara, I mean, Kara and Imra, I mean, and Kara and Alex. I mean, sisters can even do stuff like that. Yeah. But it's been pretty positive, which is refreshing, considering they typically make women, especially over a guy. And, yeah, I mean, I know Hunger Games fan 032312 said in the chat, like, he liked how their views were different, Monel and Imra and everything. And that was interesting. But they disagreed, but then they didn't yell and fight. I mean,
yeah, and I thought it was interesting also, when Alex was sick, I'm trying to remember who said it to her, she talking about how that she's like the most powerful woman they know and that she can do anything and this wasn't going to bring her down. I wish I could remember which character was talking to her in her hospital bed. But like, again, it's just showing the power of women. And also we forgot to mention, the scene with Wynn and, James, where it's such an emotional moment for Wynn and really, again, peeling back that character. We saw it a little bit last week with his mother week before.
Yeah.
Again, you're getting a little bit more of these layers that, like, he's happy with what he's done, but there's still so much more. And I think at our age, which he certainly is, you would feel that way.
Yeah, and that was, and that's the thing, is Wynn is very much like, I feel like every show of these has the audience character, and Wynn is the audience character on this show. And, you know, he's the one that we probably all most relate to in the way, and he sort of speaks on our level. And that's what's so great about him. And that's why, you know, when he has these huge emotional beats, even though most of the time, other than the episode with his mother and everything, was a very Wynn episode, he was still maybe in, like, a different story, but we've probably felt his pain more than anybody's because of that, that he's sort of our relatable character. And how great was it to have Jimmy be the one? Like, because I like that they've sort of remembered that they were really good friends, and it brought that back around.
Absolutely. Because they have a lot of, like, funny bromance moments on the show, and those are amazing, and we love them and always shout them out on the show. But to have this moment where he was really kind of looking in his eyes at death, like, and he's like, look, I've done so much, but I want to, you know, go up against Elon Musk. I want to have more. I want to, like, be remembered. And that to me was, like, a very interesting moment for him, because I feel like often he's kind of pushed to the side, and to have him kind of speak to that, it, like, he's not at all to the side. He's not the guy behind the computer. He's making it all happen, as we've said before on the show.
Yeah, and too, it's just like, it was unfortunate we didn't get to see the Mon-El moment with him, because they were also friends, but it is nice. I mean, even though we're talking about all the good female friendships, there's good male ones too, and Jimmy was very caring of Wynn, and, you know, they even had interest in the same girl. It's sort of the same thing. Is this show is, like, so positive in a way, and it is just sort of nice to see.
Yeah, I was sad that we didn't get another Lena Jimmy moment tonight. Yeah. We keep getting these, like, little glimpses of that relationship, and I feel like it's kind of, I want it to come to fruition a little bit more. That was something that was missing for me tonight.
Yeah, there were a few, but it's just, it almost seemed cut for time, because, like you said, you felt like this episode should have been longer.
Yeah, and it was funny because I felt like last week's episode, like, I could have had more, and this week's episode was jam-packed to a point where I could have watched another half hour and been totally happy and want and been fulfilled with that.
Yeah, I feel like last week was a little slow, but that's why this week was like, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and I also were, you know, in episode 16, so we're really leading into kind of the final few episodes of the season. And I think they're really gearing in with the World Killers. You're seeing this Mon-El triangle come to a head, I would imagine. In one way or another, fans, you can decide whichever way you want, but he's either going to stick with his wife or he's going to end up with Kara. And we can talk about that all you want. And please tweet us your opinions about that as well.
Yeah, and two, I feel like whatever decision he makes, it won't be taken lightly, but it will be handled with dignity and grace, like both ladies have been behaving. I don't feel like... Yeah. I feel like they're both aware of the other one and what it means, so...
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go into, like, a cat fight in any capacity. I think if they have him go back to Kara, it's going to be his wife will have either a different storyline in the show or go back home or whatever it is. I don't think they're going to have it be this, like, ooh, we hate each other now, and here's season four, and they hate each other. That's not what this show is. Like, I think it's going to be them coming to a resolution that hopefully works for all three of them, and they all find some level of happiness. Certainly. And then what do we think about kind of, I do want to go back to that ending and talk about that. So Rain's getting pulled into this world. What do you think is going to be her emotional arc going forward?
Well, yeah, I feel like Rain is pissed because Sam is so strong. And I think that will, again, it seems all hope is lost. But I do think that Sam and her love for her daughter and the love that she has from her friends like Lena and Kara will sort of ultimately be the resolution. But
they'll pull her back?
I think so, but it is unfortunate that we don't know if Odette Annabelle will be sticking around, because I still want my Sam and Alex, but...
Ooh, is that a little spoiler? Little teaser?
That's what I want, but I don't know. I mean, it's like we haven't seen any casting news about her sticking around, but I'm like, oh, come on, save her.
I mean, I think she's such a great addition to this cast. I mean, she's a phenomenal actress, regardless of the part that she's doing, but this is such an interesting role for her, so I would love to see her back in season four. I don't know if with the world killers, I feel like that's like, as we say,
world killer, man.
Yeah, like the big bad of it all this season. So I don't know where it's gonna go. But I think I really don't want to see that character end. I think it's a really interesting element on the show. And also, again, I love having kind of her as a mother, and I want to see more of that as well. So hopefully we will get more. With that, should we jump into some predictions?
Might as well. Even the chat's already started here.
Yeah.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Love. All right. So, wanted to start with some of the chat predictions?
Yeah, I actually want to shout out Corby1 just because this is a fun little pun. A Cat Grant fight. Awake. Like, yeah. Bravo. I just want to shout that out.
I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. We love a good pun here at AfterBuzz.
Yeah, well, we have two chatters here. G1XWriter13 and SilverWatcher30 both predict that Saturn Girl will die in the finale. And I would hate that because, as I say, I like Imra and she has an interesting perspective. And I'd hate to see her go away permanently.
I don't want to see Imra go away permanently at all. Especially death. If she goes back home, like, there's an element of that she can come back as a guest star and whatever. I'm thinking about it in a business perspective. But she can come back and still be a part of this story. Where if they kill her, that just feels very, well, it is very final. And I don't want that to be her ending, certainly.
Yeah, and G1XWriter13 again makes another interesting prediction, though. John's father will psychically remove the world killer personalities from them.
Is that possible? Tell us.
Yeah, I'm trying to think just in my Martian lore, like, you know, from the comics.
I mean, you know far more about the Martian lore than I do. But
I know, maybe that'll be our special segment next week if I figure out with my Martian Manhunter research.
We will research a little bit about this lore, but I didn't know that was a possibility, so something to think about, certainly. Any other fun ones to shout out?
Let's see. I think that was it as far as their predictions. I know I do predict that maybe we can sort of harness some of the powers of, like, the Martian abilities or something to be able to separate their personalities from these world killers.
Yeah, I hope so, because I think that they each kind of have, and it's such a terrible way of describing it, but it seems like the Ferris is like a split personality in some ways, because there's definitely like a human being there, and then they kind of switch on a dime into these world killers, and it's pure evil.
Yeah, and two, it's just like, as we've seen with the Doctor and Pestilence, it's like, yeah, that one we'll just leave. They're both bad. But with the other two, it's like, yeah, they could be saved.
Yeah. And let's talk about this eclipse that we briefly saw in the preview. So an eclipse comes and it affects Supergirl's powers. Is that the sense that we had from the preview?
Yeah, well, and two, Supergirl does get her powers from Earth's yellow sun, so that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And two, that's interesting that they did that, because it's like, you don't think about it, but yeah, how long could an eclipse last? It would affect Supergirl.
That is very, I've never thought about it like that, but you're absolutely correct. And I feel like it's going to be interesting to see, whenever there's an episode where Supergirl's powers are in jeopardy, I think that's always very interesting, because it changes, because Supergirl's so powerful that oftentimes it's like, well, Supergirl's going to deal with whatever kind of she comes across, and whenever her powers are taken away or reduced, you kind of, again, get that peeling back of a character, and you kind of see Kara and Supergirl struggle, and that's an interesting place to be.
Yeah, and that's always great, because, yeah, she is so powerful, but she does have weaknesses, and you do see often people's, you know, true colors and see how they react to situations and their weakness, and Kara, you know, is somebody who luckily has a team and who can help, but especially with these world killers, that would be interesting to see who steps up and how this fares.
Yeah, because, I mean, she really is kind of she has a whole great support team, but without the powers, it's very difficult to fight this level of world killer, obviously. And so I think it is going to be, how do you kind of get around that? And hopefully we'll get a little bit into that with this eclipse story.
Yeah, because as you saw, even Sam was like, what if we tell Supergirl? She's more powerful. I mean, everybody thinks of that, but what happens when you don't have the Supergirl card?
And I remember, I want to say it was in season 2, they had an episode like that, and it's really as fascinating, because in, I think season 1 was a lot of dealing with kind of how Supergirl becomes Supergirl, right? And then once you are Supergirl, what happens when you lose those powers? That's such an interesting question, and we don't often get into it, and that I'm really excited for next week.
Yeah.
With that, I think we can wrap up the show. Thank you so much for watching and hanging out with us. It's so much fun on Monday nights to be here with all of you and talk about Supergirl. You can find AfterBuzz at AfterBuzzTV all over social media, and you can find me at Stephanie Wenger.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, so you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. Be sure to download my podcast, Mrs. Brightside, which can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean. And it's got new episodes every Tuesday. This week I'll have former Supergirl host Joelle Monique to talk about The Bright Side of Failure, coming out tomorrow. And I have another podcast called The Red Room, which is also available on YouTube as well as all those platforms. It is a horror news and commentary. And this week I have interviews with the editor-in-chief of Fangoria, which has been revived, and part of the press conference for the new David Tennant, Dean Devlin venture, Bad Samaritan. So lots of cool stuff coming your way for that.
Definitely check those out. So much fun. And thank you so much again for joining us. See you all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.